Howdy, Katie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's stressful, you know, stressful month, year, life, that sort of thing, but I'm good.
It's a stressful, it's actually probably going to be a very stressful year, but hopefully your year isn't too stressful yet. What's making your year so stressful?
I would just like the holidays and everything, you know, lots of travel and you know, money stuff and all that, work.
Fair.
But soon I'll be off of work for a very long time, so that'll be good.
Oh, that's good. Do you get PT for, so do you want to share why, or is that
I'm having bottom surgery in like 27 days. So I'll be off work for 3 months, and I'll get paid 2/3 of my normal hours for it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That is good. That's honestly better than I got when I had surgery. It was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah. I think it's better than, unfortunately, a lot of people get. And that's why I work at Starbucks, you know? So,
Yeah. We love when Starbucks pays for trans people to get the care they need, even though there's so many hoops and caveats on that. We do not love the other things Starbucks is doing, is a personal statement I am making.
Yes.
Not on behalf of anyone else here.
Same. Like, I mean, no, it's fine. I mean, like, you know, and we have this conversation at work all the time, you know, like, it's, again, you know, I don't simp for Starbucks. Like, I'm not representative of the brand. I work there, so they will pay for my surgeries. And, you know, at some point I won't work there anymore. So
good. Good. I am getting a little stir crazy because we had like snow days for 2 days.
Oh, really? It snowed?
And the roads, like we, Caden, or yeah. 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 You'd never expect it to snow in Nebraska in January. Well, but it did.
It's been very warm in Chicago, is why I was surprised. So.
Oh, really?
I mean, very warm. Yeah, it's like 37.
We have been buried.
Usually it's like.
Candy and I live on like a hill. So it's good for like avoiding flooding, but it's bad for driving when it's super icy, and it keeps doing a thing where it just like defrosts just a little, but then the temperature just keeps plummeting. So it's just ice.
That's no good.
And so I'm going stir crazy. But getting some work done, which is nice.
Your room looks so much better than last time I talked to you.
Oh, yeah, the art studio. Yeah. There's still a little organizing that needs to get done, but it's getting better. So this is Totally Trans, and this is a discussion episode where we're talking about an MVT, that's Most Valuable Teammate episode, that Apoyuk was on. And we're going to talk about the Apoyuk documentary. And actually, we have some sports news that's really exciting that I want to talk about, too.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's start with the news, actually, which is, so the PWHL, which is the Professional Women's Hockey League, just started their first season last week. And they've been having, like, record-breaking attendances. Oh. And it's just really exciting.
That's nice.
So please support the PWHL. You can watch the games for free on their YouTube channel. I'm having, like, some friends over to watch a game tonight.
Is there an Omaha team?
Because just, no. So the PWHL has a couple U.S. teams. So there's, Minnesota is the team I am rooting for, because that's the closest one, even though they're like 5 hours away.
What are they called? What's the Minnesota team?
It's literally just Minnesota. There's no team names yet.
Okay.
There's no team names or logos. It was literally formed this like last August.
Okay.
So the teams are, there's Boston, Minnesota, and New York are the three U.S. teams. And then Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I'm personally cheering on Minnesota right now, because that is the team I can actually potentially go see a couple times.
Yeah.
So I'm planning on going to a few games.
Rad. My friend Cassie was very active in hockey in high school and college and everything, and so I'm sure I'm going to see her tonight. So I'll ask her about it, and I'm sure she knows all about it. Yeah.
I also grew up playing hockey And then my mom was like a hockey coach and a women's hockey captain on a team when I was little. So all of our babysitters were like these as high up in women's hockey as you could get players that were all like post college playing the equivalent of like women's AAA. And we had just these terrifying, tall, athletic babysitters. And then our mother, who we knew could like put any of them through the glass, even though she's like not even 5 feet tall, terrifying woman.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I'm this way, actually.
I was just about
my mother blames herself for me being like this. And I would just like to say, yes, in this one particular way, this is where she is correct.
Yeah.
The more I learn about your family, Ada, I swear, like, you've had quite a life.
It's a fascinating one. I think everybody's had quite a life.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's the exciting little sports news, everyone. Support the PWHL. Also, if you like women's basketball, which we all know I do, Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa, which is another team that's comparatively close to me and I want to go catch a few games, just absolutely dominating right now and really worth watching. But for the not sports fans out there who are more interested in culture things, we're going to talk about the documentary Apoyuk a little bit. So, Katie, what did you think of Apoyuk, the documentary, not the person that is my friend?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the person that is your friend, so that'll be easy. She seems great. The movie was great. It was really beautiful. I would have loved to have watched like a feature length version. I think the Iditarod is really fascinating. I've always been kind of obsessed with the Iditarod ever since I was like a little kid. I read Winter Song by Gary Paulson when I was in college, which is nonfiction about him doing the Iditarod. And when I was like in my early 20s, I designed an Iditarod themed board game where you like, you know, recruit your dogs and like have to get supplies and like it's extremely nerdy. It never got out of the prototype phase. So maybe one day I'll revisit that. But yeah, so it was really interesting. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen, you know, just more like kind of getting into the mechanics of like how that race works and everything, because it's I think it's very interesting. It's a little bit different than I think a lot of people understand what a race is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's actually something I think is really interesting. Is it's definitely an endurance sport, but where a lot of endurance sports, it's also kind of like the quicker you get it done, normally the less horrible it is. Or I guess like that's backwards. The Iditarod, the quicker you get it done, the less horrible it is. Other stuff where it's like, oh, if you push harder and go faster, it's going to be it's a harder, more difficult experience.
Yeah.
Which definitely for like, there's a challenge curve, but like being the last person to complete the Iditarod is not pleasant. It's like, oh yes, you were going through horrible cold for like another day longer than everyone else.
Yeah.
And you managed not to die. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's also very solitary and very like contemplative, I think, and very, you know, I don't know what I was going to say. I'm sorry. We're going to have to edit this one. Sorry.
No, I think that, I'm not going to. It's solitary and that is a word I can't say today, apparently.
Contemptible. But I think contemplative. Yeah.
Yes, contemptible. Contemplative. Yeah, we love a stutter. Is, I think, a good description of it, but it's also something that I think you see in a lot of more endurance sports, is it's such a mental game.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
More so than like, I think other things where it's like, you need to get into this flow state to perform in like a fast paced sports, like the sports that I tend to play, which tend to be like much faster, reflexive, a lot of like high intensity stuff. It's like this flow state where you're kind of becoming not necessarily mindful in the same way where it's like, you're aware of a sensory experience. It's like very reactive, versus things like what Chris Mosier does with like these marathons, or Apoyuk with the Iditarod, or anyone who's doing these like cross country or like long sports. I think it is like a very mindful experience.
Yeah.
Because it's like the sensory aspects of it are so important.
I had a Tour de France phase as well when I was like in high school, or whenever Lance Armstrong was winning, you know, before, I mean, obviously that was as a whole different conversation, but you know, it did get a lot of people into watching the Tour de France. And the Tour de France is similar in a lot of ways in that it's, you know, very long and takes place over a huge amount of you know, area, but it's so different from the way that it's run, you know, like this is the Iditarod is you're against, you know, nature more than anything. And you're racing against in a way yourself, you know, like you're not, I mean, there's not like a million people on the track, like with running against each other and like, you know, dogs nipping at one another. It's not like a Ben-Hur situation with dogs in the snow, which is, I think, how people probably picture the Iditarod if they don't know anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like spread out long distances. I think there is also just something beautiful about it, that it's not quite a Luddite sport, but it's like a sport that's outside of... Sorry, no, my dogs are yelling. A sport that's outside of a lot of the technology.
Oh, yeah.
And technological innovations that I feel like have dominated a lot of other sports. Like fencing, a sport that I do, has these very clear like technological innovations and changes over time, that if you look at what is being done in it, both from like a technique and strategy and equipment perspective now versus like 100 years ago, it's like a completely unrecognizable sport.
Because
like looks completely different.
You've got the sensors and everything that say when you've been hit and all that. Like, is that what you're talking about? Like, what technological advances have happened in fencing?
Yeah.
I just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that actually is such a good example of like, because of now the judging is electronic, there's like so much of it that is strategy built around like setting off the sensor when you make a touch versus being able to like sell that you made a touch and made the touch first to the judge, which is used to be a big part of fencing. And actually I've been looking at called?
Like there was bluffing in fencing?
Like German traditional fencing. There wasn't necessarily bluffing, but that's like, actually there kind of still is, because to a degree with the events where you need right of way to score, making a show of like claiming right of way is part of it.
I don't know what that means either. I don't know anything about like, fencing. Sorry.
So that's like, so to score a point in saber and saber and foil fencing, you need to have right of way, which means that like you are the attacker.
Oh, so like it's if you have the serve in like tennis or volleyball or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar to that. But there are ways to claim that by not just like parry repost, which is like you block and then attack. But when you're doing your initial attack, you have to be the one that kind of like claims the right of way from like the judge's perspective. And that is kind of a bluff, but now we're off topic. So what fencing looks like now is completely different from like 100 years ago versus dog racing. While like, if you look at the materials of the equipment and a lot of, if you look really close at it, you'll be like, oh, this has changed a lot from that perspective. But the actual like thing being done is the same.
Yeah.
It's just like you are just traveling across these like untouched, unchanging landscapes.
With a bunch of dogs.
Just again, you're just still doing it with a bunch of dogs, which the dogs do now wear cute little shoes. I know when the dogs started wearing cute little shoes.
It's been a while.
But I love the
at
cute
least.
Little dog shoes.
It's been a while. I think they've been wearing shoes. I think that the book that I read in middle school or whatever, like, or I guess it was older than that. I think it's from 1990 or something. And I'm pretty sure he talks about the shoes and stuff then. So,
yeah. But the shoes don't change how the dogs like run and move. No. It's largely the same.
It's still dogs pulling you on a sled. Yeah.
Yeah.
I cried watching this thing, but like,
you know, dogs running and like a song playing will make me cry all the time, you know, like show me a horizon and some dogs and I'm there, you know, like.
And you're there. That's all you need. You could race dogs, or at the very least you could do like cross country and just like, or like a marathon.
I love dogs.
Do you need to do like, yeah. Well, you should do dog. I feel like it's probably a big investment.
I should get 12 of them, you think? Yeah.
I don't think you have to own all 12 of them. Well,
yeah. I mean, renting the dogs probably costs more money than I have also, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm much more likely to get into that than, you know, football. So, okay.
I mean, something interesting also about it from a cultural perspective as a sport is for a Poyuk, it's also, and the documentary, I also wish it was longer and I would love to see kind of like it returned to in a few years and become like a feature length thing. Because one, I think it's interesting to sort of see her relationship with these dogs.
Yeah. I wanted because to know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is like a year round thing. And I'd highly recommend following her on like all the social medias and seeing a bit of that. But also the documentary kind of touches on a little like her relationship to this as an Indigenous woman and an Indigenous trans woman doing this sport. Yeah. And I think that that is interesting and kind of also makes this stand out a little differently from like football, for example, which is a very modern sport, or like roller derby or even like rugby. To be like a very particular thing, that I think like makes it resonate on a level that feels more impactful from like an intergenerational perspective.
Yeah, I wonder.
And I guess that's something people get from marathons too, is the idea. So it's like this callback to this ancient thing.
That's true. Yeah, it is. I wondered if there was like if there's a tradition in her family of mushing, or at least, you know, raising dogs or something like that.
Well, so her dad also does
race
dogs. Sorry.
I heard it.
Again, my dog's yelling. Yeah. But her dad is not Indigenous. Her dad is from Norway.
Okay.
Her dad is Norwegian. And then her mom is Indigenous. But then she has like this really, she comes from like a big community of like dog racers. Yeah. And then like a larger tradition of it. Yeah, it's really cool. And that's something I'd love to see explored more.
I have a tiny criticism of the movie itself, not of the woman, who I'm sure is lovely. But every documentary about a trans woman has to include a scene of them putting on makeup. And I guess it's just this kind of like, well, we have to do it, you know, like. But it's every time I see it, it kind of gives me a little like, okay, all right.
Yeah, the putting on makeup and her taking her shot are both very,
yeah,
very much the like, these are the required two shots for a cis audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you make something about a trans person.
Yeah.
I was curious, actually. I was like, I wonder, is she going to do the eyeliner for the entire race? Because that would actually rule. But then she didn't. And I'm like, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, my mascara freezes walking outside in Chicago. Whoa. So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. The dogs are on one today.
They want to race.
Are we having a lot of packages delivered?
Yeah, they can.
They want to race. They feel the call.
They feel the call of the wild. Yeah, exactly. It's the snow on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't think either of them would enjoy that.
What kind of dogs are they?
So Osa's a Rottweiler, and he does very much enjoy playing in the snow, but he doesn't really do a lot of like endurance stuff at all.
Sure.
And then Otto, whose name stands for, his name is, it's AUTO, like it's automatic transmission is his full name.
Cool.
Can you tell that Caden is a car lesbian?
So I was going to say, my dad would appreciate a dog named Otto, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a sweetie.
My dad was also a car lesbian.
So he's a Golden Retriever German Shepherd mix.
Oh.
And he's like the world's biggest sweetie.
Yeah.
He has no thoughts in his head. And he like gives up when we like walk to the coffee shop and back, which is like a maybe 10-minute walk from here. he'll be so done by time we're home. He's like turning back and looking at me and he's like, can we stop? Can we please stop?
I had a dog like that before. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think either of them are, oops, there's going to be so many random noises. I don't think either of them are going to be running the Iditarod.
They're not
going
to make it to Anchorage, much less Nome.
Yeah. No, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to make it like
to the out airport. Of the
neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They are car dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They love a car ride. Not big on long distance walks.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's. Do you have any other thoughts on the documentary? It's beautifully shot. People should go watch it.
It's free. Yeah, it's free on YouTube. It's really beautiful. It's got a couple of great needle drops. I love Mercury Rev so much. You don't hear them that often anymore, especially in movies. So love that. It's great. Yeah, you should watch it. It's 15 minutes long.
Can you hear the dogs?
Oh yeah,
digging through their toy bucket in the other room.
Oh, is that what it is?
I need to soundproof the studio a little better. Sure. Or maybe I just need to put the dogs either outside or downstairs when recording. I'm still figuring out the living with them and recording in the new space.
I don't know. I mean, y'all listeners can tell us, but like, I know like podcasts that I listen to, if there's like a cat, like a guest cat or a guest dog, like people are usually pretty into it, you know? They want to hear the animals.
Yeah.
It's not like that's standing right next to you just barking incessantly, you know? It's a different thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Patreon, I still need to edit it because it needs a lot of editing. But for our patrons, I've recorded a big chunk of my COVID brain pandemic vampire novel.
Oh my god!
As a Patreon exclusive, so I'll be uploading that soon if people are interested in that. And depending on the reception,
is this an erotic vampire novel or?
No, okay. It does have some sections. I won't describe any of it as necessarily like sexual or erotic, okay. But it does have like a lot of gender. It's like very much like a trans vampire novel. The premise of it is it's the story of a vampire who has to become human again so that she can transition.
Oh, that's rad.
Well, like, yeah. So if that sounds interesting to you,
what's it called?
Check out the Patreon. So the original title I was working on was 13 Moons.
Okay.
Cause she has to,
I have bad news for you.
Transition. Like
there's a famous,
oh, it's so overused.
There's a famous novel called 13 Moons. Yeah.
Yeah. By I'm very aware.
Charles Frazier, I think.
Yeah. There's also several other books called 13 Moons and like a comic. I think there's a video game. There's a movie, there's stores.
Sure, yeah.
There's, yeah. So that was my working title, but it never got like a final title. So if you listen to that.
Huh? Is it finished? Like, is the story finished?
It's not. Okay. The outline's finished, but we'll see if people like the first sort of three quarters, and then I'll maybe actually write the ending.
Okay.
And then we'll see where it goes from there.
Oh my god, I have so many books like that. I want to revisit, like, I've thought about doing like AO3 and like starting like putting them up chapter by chapter, and then if people start reading it, then that'll give me the impetus to like finish it. I don't know, we'll see. I've got like four or five three quarters of the way finished novels rotting away on Google Drive. Yeah.
We can start posting content like that too on Splendor Queer. I also might publish on the topic of games. I might publish I have like a prototype board game I made a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
When I was teaching a class on like game design, that I found, and I'm like, oh, I should put this up on Splendor Queer as like a little donate what you'd want PDF version. And then maybe if there's any interest in that maybe we'll publish one. I don't know. Figuring out the things in 2024, since I have access to manufacturers and publishing, and I guess I should actually should we just become publishers? Should we just start publishing stuff?
I mean, listen, I've I've got lots of things written and only like 3 things published, so I'd be happy to.
Yeah, let's get on that. Anywho, I don't know if I have anything else on the docket to talk about today outside of those things. Do you have anything you want to talk about before we head our ways?
No, it's a 15-minute movie. We talked for 30 minutes. That seems reasonable.
That seems very reasonable. Okay. Well, where can people find you these days?
I don't fucking know. In Chicago.
Yeah. At least for another like 27 days, in which case I'll be in Ohio for laying down for God knows how long. I'm still on Twitter at Katie of the Lake. I'm technically on Blue Sky also, but I don't know. I just don't get the vibe.
Yeah, I'm starting to just post more on Blue Sky. I still haven't really found kind of my niche there, but I'm starting to be there. And then I've been good about posting on TikTok.
Oh yeah.
The last 2 weeks.
I've seen when you posted on Instagram.
On Blue Sky and TikTok.
I don't know. I don't want to like get into TikTok because I feel like it'll take over my whole life, and I've got enough things taking over my life at the moment.
That's valid. Yeah.
Been playing Baldur's Gate 3. Have you played Baldur's Gate 3?
I haven't.
Really seems like it's something you would like.
I've heard I'd probably really like it. I don't think there'll be like a Switch port of it ever.
No.
And my like art computer might be able to run it. It's got like a decent graphics card.
My MacBook Pro from 2020 runs it, but it chugs. So far, I haven't really had any major issues. Sometimes in the like dialogue scenes, they'll just like say something and then they'll like, it doesn't freeze, but there's just been this long pause as it starts loading the rest of the dialogue. That's pretty much the only problem. Like in the actual like gameplay parts, it's not an issue. Yeah.
My research right now, so it's been increasingly getting into generative AI for design, and that's led me to some interesting stuff, which of doing like some generative that's Ozo again, some generative AI art, not from a perspective of like, oh, we're doing graphic design with this. We've been doing some work on like generative AI as an artistic medium and like what can be done with that, which I think is really fascinating. If you're interested in that, look up the International Design Engineering Technology Conference. And we are accepting papers until I think mid-February on creative applications of generative AI. So we're doing, and that can be anything like menu generation, like food menu generation to whatever. But we're really interested in seeing like what can be done with this as a design medium. More than just like, well, you can shit out stuff that plagiarizes things.
Yeah.
That's not interesting to me.
Yeah.
But this has led us
to using it for good is what you're saying.
Yeah. And trying to see like what it is as an art medium and lay down like a technical and like philosophical basis for that. And that's leading me into some video game art, because there's this thing called like the oatmeal problem, which is in procedural generation, a lot of like you can make these infinite worlds. But it's like, it's oatmeal because it's all kind of like, it's every bite is technically different, but it all tastes the same.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I've been working on like, how do you bridge the oatmeal problem with generative methods and computational cognition? And now the next step on that is I think I need to build a better computer for my office. And I might, or I guess for my laboratory, and I might use that as an excuse to then put like a personal Steam account on it too and play some video games,
sure.
Which is technically research. That's
true. That's good for you.
That would be
a dream.
That would be also, for the record, for the tax reasons, I will purchase those games that I play on that with my personal funds, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think I need to kind of understand. It seems like Baldur's Gate is maybe the thing to measure it on as far as this current adventure world exploration goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been keeping up with like some of the indie game developments on this. Anywho, that's a whole other podcast episode.
Sure.
So
at what point, Ada, do you stop calling it a laboratory and start calling it a laboratory? Is there a certain like number of years that you...
Okay. So I've actually been thinking about this.
Uh-huh. Of course you have.
Because
I'm surprised.
And the reason for this is because I think the word laboratory highlights kind of the etymology of laboratory.
Labor.
Yeah, is it's a place where you go to labor. And I think that is really fascinating. So I think I want to start calling it like the laboratory. like this is like the place where we go and we work because we're doing some really weird research there. And especially with this new student I have coming in who's going to be working on kind of like specifically these like generative art and game problems. I think like it's not really like laboratory doesn't feel like it fits anymore.
Yeah.
But I really like being like the laboratory. Like yeah. This is the place where we go to work on these creative and scientific endeavors.
Yeah. And hopefully Dee Dee doesn't mess everything up.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We must launch. I don't know where I'm going to go with this. launch her into a volcano.
Yeah, I don't know. What, the moon, I don't know what he does whatever. With Dee Dee. It's been a long time.
This is a Dexter's Lab joke.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The people.
Sorry. Sorry, children.
Are not 90s kids. Yeah. Yeah.
I do. I know. Seriously, though, I love that. The root being labor is a good thing to remember for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Bye.